So, hopefully you've got that well sorted out now. What are we talking about? What are we talking about when we talk about making disciples, growing disciples, being disciples? I guess that most people, if they hear the word disciple, just immediately think of Jesus' first 12 disciples. Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, John, the rest. But actually, even in the Gospels, the term disciples wasn't just restricted to the 12. So, for example, in Luke 6, Jesus went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there. It's obviously more than just the 12. In John 6, quite a key passage, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" And then, from this time on, many of his disciples turned back and stopped and didn't follow him. "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. So although the 12 had a kind of privileged position, it seems as if even in Jesus' time, all of those who were following him were actually called disciples. And the disciples were just a particular group of disciples. The word disciple occurs 245 times in the Gospels. It then occurs 23 times in Acts. But there's a difference of emphasis in Acts. So, Acts 6. "So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, 'It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables.'" Acts 6, just a few verses later. "So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith." So, when the 12 gathered all the disciples together, it must mean they gathered all the Christians together. As the word of God spread, Acts 6:7 must mean that the number of Christians increased rapidly. In other words, in Acts, disciples is just another word for believers in the Lord Jesus, for Christians. And then, after Acts, you will not find the word disciple at all. Not at all in any of the epistles. It's not there in Revelation. In the epistles, you find expressions like God's holy people or those who are in Christ. So it seems to me that you've put that lot together. What you find in the New Testament is that whilst we might think of disciples as being a particular group of Christians, in the modern context, we might think of disciples as being those who are really sort of seriously following Jesus or something like that. The New Testament just would not recognize that at all. In the Bible, disciple equals Christian. If you have become a Christian, you have become a disciple. So if in your discussions just now you said, "Disciple, that's easy. It just means Christian." Give yourself a smug pat on the back. But of course that means that becoming a Christian is never just about believing a set of facts about God or anything like that. The Greek word for disciple, mathetes, it actually, in normal Greek, it just meant a pupil or a learner. So to be a disciple is to be a learner. But in Jewish thought, learning was never just about accumulating knowledge. The aim of the disciple was to become like his or her teacher. So Jesus' instruction at the end of Matthew's Gospel to his first disciples to go and make more disciples shows that, in Jesus' way of thinking, becoming a Christian is just the start of something. It's the start of a life of learning. Learning, actually, to be more like Jesus. And that should be true of every Christian. That should be true of you. If you have put your trust in Jesus, If Jesus is your Savior and your Lord, then you are a disciple. His purpose for you is to learn from Jesus, to learn to know him better, to become more like him. If you're a Christian, you are a disciple. The only question is, are you actually taking that seriously? The American speaker Rob Bell summed this up very well in one of his early Numa videos. We have shown this before, 2 or 3 years ago, but it's worth seeing again how he explains this whole life of discipleship. So what it means to be a disciple is to devote your life to becoming like your teacher, doing the things that your teacher does. And that means that in New Testament terms, to be a Christian means to devote your life to learning from Jesus, becoming more like Jesus. And I guess in a way, our vision statement could be that we want to be making Christians, growing Christians and being Christians. But it's so easy then to think, just to set the bar too low. We want to be making disciples, we want to be growing disciples, but we want to be being disciples. Every one of us here who knows and loves the Lord Jesus should have that desire to actually devote the whole of our lives to becoming more and more like him. And that's a bit of a challenge, but we'll think a bit more about that after Phil has come and led us. So every Christian is a disciple. It means that we should all be learning, not just head knowledge, although it actually has to start there. We should be putting what we learn into practice. In John 8, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples." And to hold to Jesus' teaching doesn't just mean continuing to believe it. It means having your life absolutely shaped by it. We hear what Jesus says. We see that he lived out what he taught. And so we imitate him by putting into practice what he said. You and I should be becoming more and more like Jesus. And it just seems such a huge challenge. Just like that kind of challenge, Phil saying, you know, your homework for next week is to memorize Genesis. That'd be a bit of a tough call. How on earth did those youngsters in Jesus' time manage to memorize such huge chunks of scripture? Well, they did a little bit at a time, and they, as they started to do it, developed the ability to do it. It wasn't as though one of those sort of youngsters, a seven-year-old, suddenly came along and said, I'd like to be your disciple, rabbi, and then immediately sat down and memorized huge chunks. It came a little bit at a time. And if we want to become more like Jesus, if we want to be authentic disciples, holding to Jesus' teaching, modeling our lives on that, it actually is something that just happens a little bit at a time. We need to be ready to allow Jesus to shape us, to make us the people he wants us to be. So where do we start? We heard about Peter getting out of the boat and walking on the water. I'm not sure I would recommend that at the moment, although if you live in certain parts of the country, you don't seem to have much alternative. Is that what we're supposed to be doing? I think maybe if we're looking for the starting point, we need to take a couple of steps back from that. So let's turn to the Bible. I'm going to read a very well-known passage. It will be helpful to grab a Bible and to have it open and to follow it. Matthew 5, beginning at verse 1. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The whole of the Sermon on the Mount, of which this is the beginning, is kind of the key, certainly in Matthew's Gospel, the key point at which Jesus is teaching his disciples. This can be seen as Jesus' key instruction for his disciples. Some people call it the kind of great discipleship manual. So, what does it mean for us to do these things? If these are the sort of things that Jesus is wanting us to do as his disciples, what does it kind of mean in practice? And if to be a disciple is to become more like our teacher, how does what we read in the Beatitudes help us to become more like Jesus? Let's just take 3 or 4 minutes, get back into those little groups that you were so enjoying discussing with a few moments ago. And just think, if you've got the Beatitudes open, just have a look at those, but just ask, what does this say about discipleship? How do the Beatitudes help us to be more like Jesus? Discuss. I suspect you could probably go on talking about that for ages. But we're not going to. Hopefully just thinking about that helps to sort of home in on this great challenge of being like Jesus. Because there is a sense in which the Beatitudes give us a picture of Jesus. Maybe not so much the poor in spirit bit, but Jesus' meekness, his passion for righteousness, his mercy, his purity of heart, his peacemaking, and his enduring persecution. Those are all things that we see so clearly in the life of Jesus, and things that he says we'll be blessed if we can put into practice. You see, I guess when we think about being like Jesus, it would be quite easy. You know, we think, oh yes, we need to be doing what Jesus did. It would be easy to start by kind of homing in on the big things, a bit like Peter getting out of the boat and walking on the water. We might think, yes, if I'm supposed to do what Jesus did, healing people, miracles, all those sort of things. Now, I do think that there's a sense in which Jesus' disciples today should be able to do those things, but only in a limited sense. In the Gospel, many of Jesus' mighty works were called signs. They were pointing to who Jesus was. With us, it has to be different, but still, if we are disciples, we learn gradually to do the things that Jesus did. But before we can learn to do those sort of things, the primary sense in which we have to be like Jesus is that our characters should become more like his. If we want to be like Jesus, if we want to do the things that Jesus did, first of all, that will involve meekness, hungering for righteousness, mercy, purity of heart. And as we do those things, so our characters become more like his, and as disciples, we can become more like him and do the things that he did. Which is all great. But it doesn't just end there. You see, we kind of look at Jesus, where we see him in the Gospels. We read about what Jesus did. We want to have lives that are like his. But it so much helps, so much more if we also have kind of worked examples. About 30, 40 years ago, there was another Jewish rabbi, I think it was Abraham Herschel, who once was talking about education, and he said, what children need today isn't textbooks, they need text people. Children need not just books that they can read information of, they need to see a life well lived so that they can imitate that. And if we are to grow as Christians, actually we need that. We need others who can show us what that life of discipleship really looks like. But if we need others who can do that for us, then we need to be doing that ourselves. Paul writes this to the church in Corinth. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Or actually a more literal translation, I chunked it up and it is a more literal translation, is be imitators of me as I am of Christ. I wonder if you would ever dare say that to somebody. Imitate me, just like I'm imitating Jesus. But that's where being disciples kind of merges with growing disciples. How do we grow as disciples? We grow as disciples by seeing others doing it. How do we help those who come to faith, who've begun this path of discipleship? We teach them, but we also give them a model to copy. I think it's a huge challenge. If someone wants to see what discipleship looks like in practice, they should be able to look at me and look at you and find out. What they see in me should line up with what they read in the Bible. So that, yes, discipleship is becoming more like our teacher Jesus, doing the things that he did. But actually, as we're doing that, then we should be showing to others what that looks like. And of course, that might all seem just too big an ask. This is just too challenging. The challenge of actually being like Jesus, doing the things that Jesus did, having his character, that's just, I think I'd rather just learn Genesis off by heart. It'd probably be easier. You see, the thing is, Jesus thinks you can do it. The second bit of that Rob Bell video, which we'll watch next week, he explains this as well. See, if Jesus calls us to be his disciples, it is because he thinks we can do it. We might not think we can do it, but Jesus does. Jesus thinks that you and I can actually do the things that he did. We can shape our lives on him so that others can look at us and see the life of Jesus lived out. Jesus thinks you can do it. The big question really is, do you believe Jesus? And so we're going to think a bit more about that next week. But just before Phil comes and leads us in the last couple of songs, just a chance to reflect a bit more on that. bit of music and the words of the Beatitudes, just to allow God to speak into our hearts, our minds, so that we can go out into a new week with a renewed desire and intention of allowing God to mold our lives, to shape our lives, so that we can become more like our teacher.